Greetings from Dragonfly Cottage. It is Sunday, the 27th of October, the last Sunday in October. I cannot believe the fall is moving along so quickly. It is about 4:15 in the afternoon, and it is just a beautiful day. We have finally come in this last week to what I hope and believe will have been the last of the really hot, muggy days. We will have more warm days ahead, but the days have been so cool, I have had the windows open all week to marvelous, fresh, cool air. I always feel like it's washing the house out nice and fresh and clean. And when you live with 9 animals, 5 parrots and 4 pugs, even though I'm meticulous about keeping everything clean and the house is clean, it's just good to get fresh air in. And I'm kind of laughing because I'm thinking that you will maybe hear some pug snoring in the back of this podcast. I have a wee little pug right here in his bed snoring. But this last week, it got so cold. A couple of nights, I had to get up and close the windows. And one night, we had frost, and I even had to put the heater on for a little while for the first time this year so that I take the chill off a little bit in the morning. But I welcome this. It's my favorite time of the year. I wanted to talk to you about something moving into this podcast that has just come up for me as I've been talking to a dear young woman, and she's going through a lot of pain in her life right now. And I talked to her about something that I think is so relevant for people. And for some of you out there who are going through difficult days and painful times, I hope that maybe this will be a little bit of help for you. I know I go through things all the time, and this is a practice that I find very helpful. Now, we're all going through all kinds of things all the time. Life is just, you know, a series of sort of ups and downs and everything in between. But this practice I call tied in, tied out, like the ocean tide. And I said to her, instead of trying to lock the pain, push it away, close your eyes to it, which doesn't work because we still feel it anyway, and that trying so hard to keep it at bay causes a tension inside of us that makes it hurt worse. For those of you women who've had a baby and have done natural childbirth, you will know that the labor with the contractions will go easier for you if you can breathe and relax with them, ride the wave with them, than if you tense your body all up and it hurts worse. It's more painful. So too, these things that we come to in life. So what I first would ask you to do if you're having a time like this is to relax into the pain. Allow it to come. Allow yourself to feel it. Cry. There's nothing wrong with crying. It's very cleansing when you need to. And then breathe in and out very slowly, in through your nose, out through your mouth. And And as you do so and continue to breathe, consciously relax your body from the top of your head down through. Feel your arms, your shoulders, feel your torso, your stomach, your pelvic area, your thighs, your buttocks, your calves, all the way down into your feet with your eyes closed. Just feel that. And if you're very, very tense, scrunch your shoulders up to your ears as hard as you possibly can and then let them drop. You really notice a bit of relaxation right away. So breathing in and breathing out and relaxing your body. And just this part is something that you can repeat many times throughout the day, just taking a moment or two when you're hitting the hard spots. And then I want you to remember this or have this visualization. Floating in water, whether it's the ocean or a swimming pool or your own bathtub in a nice, deep, warm bath. And that is most accessible, so you can do this in the bathtub at all. Floating on that water, imagine if you are in the ocean how the tide comes in and goes out. That's the pain rising and receding, coming in, going out, as we come into and out of those places throughout the day, the days, the weeks, the months, however long it is to work past grief, pain, whatever it is that we're processing. Imagine yourself floating on the water. And it's so warm and gentle, and it feels so good. And you feel your body just kind of floating backwards and forwards, in with the tide, out with the tide. Notice that you always come back in. You go out and you feel it and come safely back in. Feel the rocking motion, and you're breathing in, and you're breathing out. And you're going out with the waves, and in with the waves, and it's warm, and it feels good. And the thing that you need to know, to remember, to take in, to have an awareness of, is that no matter how many times you go in and out, you are supported by the water. You are always supported. And so as you go through these times, as they go through you and wash over you and around you, and sometimes feel as though it's going to sweep you away, allow it to come through. It's going to pass through. And it is true that time heals everything. It's hard to believe it or take it in at the moment. You know, that the hardest thing, of course, is if someone dies or passes from their life in that way. It's very, very painful. But this too passes. And all the other things in your life pass. And you're breathing in. And you're breathing out. And you're relaxing your body and the top of your head. The tips of your toes. And the tide is going out, but it's coming in, and you feel the warm water, and you feel so supported, and you know that you're supported, and you know that in the time ahead, these difficult times will come, but the tide will always carry you back in. You'll always be supported, and you keep breathing in and breathing out. Remember that. This is a wonderful practice. Also, if you have times of fear and anxiety, if you have panic attacks, this is a very good thing to practice. When you do the breathing, it feels good. I've had severe panic attacks in my life, and I can tell you that, as we all know, people tell you to breathe, and that's the hardest thing for you to do. So concentrate more on relaxing your body, closing your eyes, relaxing your body. And as with the shoulders, you can go through your whole body. What you're trying to do is get the focus away from the fact that you can't breathe, that you have trouble taking a whole breath. So again, scrunch up your shoulders to your ears as hard as you possibly can and let them drop. And feel the relaxation. You can do the same thing all throughout your body to help you. Tense up the muscles of your arms and your hands. Make fists. Tense them up as hard as you can. And then let go. You feel how much your body relaxes. Tense your stomach, your buttocks, your thighs, your calves. Just scrunch your toes up as hard as you possibly can. Push, pull your ankles up, and then you let your feet relax. We breathe a little easier, and then out with the tide, and in, and being supported. Everything I just talked about, the more that you can not only physically relax your body, but go to a place in your mind that is something different than being caught up in the fear. And sometimes, as they say, act as if, sometimes you might not believe it, but just do it. And before long, you find yourself breathing in, breathing out. Also, I work with aromatherapy, and I highly recommend lavender oil, a pure lavender oil. When you're working and breathing, when you're working on these exercises, you can just hold the bottle and breathe in with it. You can put drops of lavender on your pillow. If you're having trouble sleeping at night, you can dab a little on your skin, or even just like up around the collar or the top of your shirt or dress, so that you can smell it. It is very, very relaxing. It is pure. It is natural. It is lovely. If you have sensitive skin, you might have to be careful about essential oils, because some of them can cause irritation. Mostly, if you're careful and don't overdo it, a lavender from a very good, reliable source is safe. So those are just a few things that I wanted to share with you while they were on my mind. We are moving into the time of year that, when I had small children and there was so much the hubbub, this is the time of the year, I kind of referred to it for most people today as like the Thanksgiving to New Year holiday slide. But if you have children, it kind of starts from Halloween on. From Halloween, it goes Halloween, a few short weeks, Thanksgiving, a few short weeks, Christmas, a few short weeks, New Year's. In that period of time, our lives are not what they normally feel like they are. For me, being bipolar, and with some of the other issues I deal with, I have talked in these podcasts about the fact that every day is sort of like climbing a ladder for me. Each one of the rungs of the ladder are the routines and schedule that I set for myself, and I feel safe as though I can climb the rungs of the ladder. And when things happen, as things will, because it's life, where something comes into my life that happens that makes me miss some of the rungs, it is not good. And because I'm bipolar and I have to really, even with the medication, be very mindful of this, be vigilant about self-care, have some of these practices in place, like the one I just shared with you. it's really important to establish these practices, because for me, by about the time of Halloween hit with the children, you know, there's the getting the costumes, there's the preparing at home for children to come, for, you know, all those things that come, and then there's Thanksgiving. Like, it's not that you won't maybe love the individual holidays, but the time leading up to it and the preparation is really a sort of a tense-making time. And for some people, the holidays are not happy. They're lonely, or there's family conflict. And after Thanksgiving, whoa, Nelly, the time from Thanksgiving to Christmas, if you celebrate the holiday, is really just an over-the-top experience these days. The old-fashioned Christmases, which I know even then, I'm not suggesting that they were perfect ever, nothing ever is, but there is so much pressure and rushing and overspending and running up credit cards and schedules being disrupted and kids out of school and worrying what you're going to get everybody, all of that tension. And then there's something about having a little bit of an oasis right after Christmas. But as you go into the new year, that has many implications for people. And there's all, oh gosh, a new year is starting. I have to make all these resolutions. I have to do everything better. Think back over the time past that maybe has been difficult. The way you get through these times is, again, to establish a practice. Again, the practice I just offered you. Most importantly, mindfulness. Being present in this moment. This moment is all we have. Past holidays, past times, no matter what happened, good, bad, or otherwise, they're gone. And we haven't reached the ones just ahead of us or on into the future. And I can tell you that being mindful, being in this moment, in every individual moment, all the way up to those times, being mindful is like money in the bank. Is building a sense of wellness, a sense of calm, a sense of being able to cope with tomorrow because you're okay today. You'll be okay tonight because you're right here now. And if you take a little time, people have trouble if they don't have a meditation practice, or they think, oh Lord, I have to meditate, I can't do that. Don't worry about that. Just take a few moments and sit quietly and do those practices, breathing in and breathing out and relaxing your body. And just do that, even for a few minutes here and there, or as long as you feel like you can, until you really feel that sense. And that will carry you through the Thanksgiving to New Year holiday slide, or the Halloween to New Year holiday slide. So that's something that I kind of wanted to share with you in this podcast. And as to mindfulness, I have just started something new on my blog that I've been thinking about for some time, but I thought I would like to do this in a way of perhaps offering it to my readers, but more importantly for myself, as part of an extension of my daily practice of mindfulness. So today is day one of what I call 365 days of mindfulness at Dragonfly Cottage. I'm going to do a blog post every single day. Some of them may not be very long, and some of them will be longer. I will be including photographs and my day as it goes, being very mindful in the moment. The podcast today has at the top, and I will share this picture with you, roses from the fall garden. I've talked about before, one of the nice things about fall is that as the weather cools down, the roses start to bloom again. On the coast of North Carolina, we have very pleasant weather for the most part. In the, you know, up to Christmas. I've even been gardening in January in 70-degree weather. It's not always that warm then, but we do have those days. But the roses give up the ghost over the summer. It's just too intensely hot here. But now that it's started to cool, the roses are blooming and they are so beautiful. And I have some cosmos still blooming. And the odd zinnia or so that's kind of protected from other plants or against a wall. I do have a few zinnia left. Most of those are gone. So I will share with you with this podcast a fall bouquet, and that's at the top of today's mindfulness entry. But there are pictures of the pugs and pictures of a big autumn stew that I cooked yesterday and had today. And there'll be other things. Yesterday I did a post as well, and it wasn't part of the mindfulness series, but it was a Sunday at Dragonfly Cottage, and it was a long post with lots and lots of pictures. Working in the fairy garden, where I am planting quite a lot of bulbs. There will be hundreds of bulbs, but they're tiny ones. I got three or four different kinds of crocus. I love crocus. But these are colors that I've never ever seen. A beautiful salmon and a beautiful pink. And colors I've never seen. And three colors of grape hyacinths. They are one of my very favorite flowers. I love the delicate little flowers. And the common purple grape hyacinths. I just love them and I always plant them. But I've planted the latifolium this year, which has a purple bottom but a light blue, sky blue top. And then the loveliest grape hyacinth in a pink that I have never seen before. And I'm planting some species, iris, that are very little iris, just beautiful. And quite a number of anemones, which I really, really love. I just think they're the most enchanting. Not the anemone blonda, which almost looks like a little daisy. No, I like the other anemones that are just not small, not large plants, but the petals are just beautiful. And so I'm just planting an awful lot right now in my fairy garden. And as I was cleaning it out yesterday, I included a couple of pictures in yesterday's blogcast. A close-up of my lavender. My planters that I had built for the fairy garden are almost waist high. If they're in a U-shape, they're heavy wood planters that are fairly tall, and they go around three sides in a U, and the bottom of the planters, about a third down to the ground, are sand, and then really good organic soil all the way up. That way there's room for a lot of drainage, because we are prone to rain, a lot of rain here. But I have never particularly had good luck with lavender, so I ordered a number of plants in five different varieties this year, and a couple of them didn't go, but most of them have gone very, very well and have gotten large, and they're not flowering now, but just working in the fairy garden yesterday as I sort of went, moved around in it and, cleaned out the leaves and debris and dead flowers. Just brushing against it smells heavenly. And there's rosemary, and there are herbs, and there are a number of things that will carry on into the cold weather or are perennial and will eventually die back. But they are still green, and one of the most delightful things, which I also showed yesterday, are the old-fashioned sweet violets. The leaves are a beautiful, brilliant green now and almost heart-shaped. And in the spring, they will have those beautiful, old-fashioned, delicate violets. Now, they used to make little posies of them, little tiny bouquets that were very fragrant. And what I got, 25, I can't even say plants, I ordered them from eBay, and they were really not more than rooted cuttings. And that's always iffy, how they'll go. But most of the 25 have grown, And they are going to be a delight in the spring. And as all the little bulbs will be coming up, the things coming back from this year, it would be quite an enchanting place for the fairies to play. And you will get to see the fairy garden as time goes along. It's not an awful lot to look at now since it's just green growing things and a lot of it's been cleaned out and we can't see the bulbs that have been planted. The other thing I'm about to plant that I'm really excited about, because you probably heard me talk about this, I have hundreds of lilies planted here. A lot of oriental lilies, other kinds of lilies. They are beautiful. Lily time here is breathtaking. But this year, for the first time, I ordered about 50 tree lilies. And I get this many because I get them wholesale, or in large lots cheaply late in the season. Tree lilies can get up to 8 feet tall. And the catalog that I get, I've gotten these from Brex, and the catalog, I mean, you should see these huge bell-shaped flowers, lots and lots and lots of them from one bulb. And the first year they might just get 3 or 4 feet, but then they'll quickly get up to 5 and 6 and then 8 feet. Very fragrant, very beautiful. Most of the ones I got are a variety called Purple Prince. They are beautiful. But then I also got a mix with all different pinks and peaches and whites and other things I'll plant here and there. So it is fall bulb planting time in the fairy garden and all over the place. And it is, oh, I just love this. Out in the cool, crisp weather with the pugs playing around with me. It is special. I wanted to tell you, because I forgot to say it, if you'd like to go to my blog and see these last entries and maybe like to read the days of mindfulness as they go along, that's my blog, My Tree's Heart, which is a long-running blog, moved to this website in July. And if you go to MyTree, M-A-I-T-R-I, at dragonflycottage.com, you'll see a tab for My Tree's Heart, and you can go there to see these blog entries. You can also see the information about working with me one-on-one through the Cantadora's Way or the Deep Listening Soul Guidance Sessions. And early in November, I will have a new community up, which is a teaching and healing and supportive community where I'll be doing daily videos and a whole lot more, the Cantadora Circle. So that will be coming soon. But you can find all of that information again at MyTree at DragonflyCottage.com. And I would love to hear from you. There's a contact form on the website. Or you can write to me at MyTree at, and that's the at symbol, because this is an email address, MyTree symbol at dragonflycottage.com. So I hope you've had a lovely week past and a wonderful one ahead. And I wish for you so many blessings. And I send you so much love from Dragonfly Cottage, from the parrots and the pugs, and all the wildlings in my woods here. We all send you love. Farewell, friends. I will meet with you again next Sunday.